Blog Talk Radio.
A great day at River Tree Academy. We are a private Christian school in the Lake Como community that strives to provide an environment where students can learn well, love well, work well, and lead well. We still have openings available for incoming 3rd through 5th grade students to enroll. Visit us on the web at rivertreeacademy.org to find out more and enroll today.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're about to discuss the inhumane and cruel and unusual punishment Gregory Travis Corley is receiving at the Denton County Jail. Gregory has been there since February 15, 2022, and his health is declining daily, and he's in desperate need of hospitalization. Gregory Corley had a motorcycle accident in 2019. At that time, he injured his right arm badly. They placed stents under the right arm to help with the blood flow. However, on February 15, 2022, he was arrested and placed in handcuffs for over 3 hours. That caused serious damage to the arm and again caused more problems to the arm, resulting in blood clots. Once he got to the jail and noticed that there were problems, I understand that Greg began to notify the staff that he needed to be seen by a doctor because he had been in those handcuffs. And back to the handcuffs, when he was in handcuffs, he made the officers aware of the Denton County, County Sheriff's Department, let me get clear on that. It was the police department in Denton County. They arrested him, and my understanding is during the arrest, he made it very clear that his arm had problems and he did not need to be in handcuffs behind his back. He was asking them to please place the handcuffs in front of him so that he wouldn't sustain further damage to his arm, but they did not do that. So once he got to the jail and noticed that he was having problems with the arm, he contacted the staff, and I understand repeatedly asked to be taken to the hospital to seek treatment for the arm. However, they did not immediately get Gregory to a hospital to seek treatment for the arm, and by the time they did, I understand that told him that the arm had sustained serious problems and it needed to be amputated. So tonight, we struggle to understand why the Denton County Jail has not taken him to a hospital for the amputation. We know that once he saw a doctor, the doctor told him that the arm needed to be amputated and did schedule a surgery. The doctor stated that he received an email from the Denton County Jail that said that Gregory refused the surgery. However, Gregory says that he never refused the surgery, so therefore he was ready to be taken for the surgery. However, that has not happened. So at this particular time, Gregory's family feels like his life is in danger. They feel like his condition is worsening every day. They feel like he could have a stroke, another stroke. They said he's had one stroke since he's been there. He could suffer a heart attack. He could get gangrene, or he could get more blood clots. So that's something that's really troubling his father, and there's a lot going on, and we're just not understanding why the Denton County Sheriff's Department, the Denton County Jail, will not get Gregory Travis Corley out of there and to a hospital. So listen, y'all, disclaimer, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, the host, or advertisers. With that said, Let's Talk Fort Worth. The call-in number, if you want to join the conversation tonight, is 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. The call-in number tonight is 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. Good evening, Reggie. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Digging around here trying to clean up here in the office. And Mr. Kurtz told me it was 3 after. I'm like, oh, damn. I said, let me jump in on here because I don't want to leave anything incomplete. But,
no,
I'm here. Go ahead.
I'm waiting for Mr. Corley to call in. I think he was very upset this afternoon because we thought that we had found an attorney that was going to work on the case. However, the retainer fee that the attorney asked for was substantially high for Mr. Corley, and he is just not able to do that. And even the amount that
I'm not surprised at that either, but I may have something to nail down on that tonight or tomorrow. I had another attorney I'm gonna ask about it, but I'm not gonna put his name out. I'm not gonna front his name out because I haven't talked to him yet.
Right, but I think he's very disappointed with that. But I told him tonight that I would make a plea for an attorney who is able to take the case pro bono right now until they can get Gregory out of there, get him to a hospital, get the arm amputated, get him stabilized, because Mr. Corley feels like Gregory could die any day from his condition. So I'm not sure what's happening.
That's a very distinct possibility because I spoke to the doctor Thursday. Spoke to his doctor that was looking at him, and they said that's a great possibility. And that's something that we are, you know, hoping we can head off. I have a couple other attorneys that I'm going to reach out to over the weekend on this matter. And I'm also going to talk on Robert Ashley's show tomorrow morning about this situation and see what can be done. I mean, I did speak to one of my friends that's a judge, and she definitely said that if there is some evidence to prove that this thing was mishandled so poorly, there will be some serious consequences to pay on that. And, you know, we had spoke about the judge that's handling this case, and, you know, and then her assistant telling me that, you know, he has to have an attorney for them to do anything, which, you know, I still find that to be a crock, that if the judge knew the urgency of this matter, there could be a recognizance release and everything. And plus, he can be, you could put a monitor on him if it's gonna worry him. I mean, what a man gonna do if he's gonna be recuperating from an amputation? You really worried about him running? Or for that matter, he probably not going to run because of the negligence that's gone. This gross negligence. They will be dropping the charges on this because this thing transcends maltreatment. I mean, you don't even do that to POWs, what they're doing to him.
I agree. I looked up some information on jail standards and how prisoners are supposed to be treated. And really, I mean, he fits the absolute category of someone who's being treated unfairly and inhumane in their system. If you go to the American Bar Association, they have a section under 23-6.2, response to prisoner health care needs. And basically it says correctional authorities should implement a system that allows each prisoner, regardless of the security classification, to communicate health care needs in a timely and confidential manner to qualified health care professionals who should evaluate the situation and assess its urgency. A provision should be made for prisoners who face literacy, language, and other communication barriers to be able to communicate their health care needs. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. It says no correctional staff member should impede or unreasonably delay a prisoner's access to health care staff or treatment. Well, that's Gregory. And it goes on
Absolutely.
To say a prisoner's absolutely. It goes on to say a prisoner suffering from a serious or potentially life-threatening illness or injury or from significant pain should be referred immediately to a qualified medical professional in accordance with the written guidelines, complaints of dental pain should be referred to a qualified professional for necessary treatment to begin promptly. So if they're so concerned about an inmate that they're worried about a toothache, you know what they would feel about someone who was needing to have their arm amputated. And so it just speaks that whatever's going on with this is absolutely not supposed to be happening to someone who is, you're detaining them. They're not free to go and seek medical attention themselves. However, while they're in your care, you're not treating them according to jail standards.
Something's wrong.
And it goes on to say, a prisoner who requires care not available in the correctional facility should be transferred to a hospital or other appropriate place for care. That's Greg.
Right. I mean, that's the reason why they have a medical wing at most hospitals. So when they do have to have surgery, they can still make, they still in detention. I mean, you know, even that floor, the whole floor would be, you know, they have a lock there. I mean, they have places, you know, he'll be detained there, and if they have to shackle his leg to the bed or something, I mean, this is not rocket science we're dealing with.
Not at all. And you know, the thing is, I'm not really sure what's going on, but tonight I went and I researched the sheriff, and I found one, a petition that was asking for him to be removed. But besides that, I looked up his resume, which was very interesting. I mean, he has a very colorful resume, if you want to say. I mean, he's very qualified law enforcement officer. However, I think when you cross over to the sheriff thing, I think things start to shift a little bit. But when I looked at his resume, he's done all types of things. And so I just wonder if this particular position it has so many facets. You know what I'm saying? It's not just one-dimensional. And so I wonder if there's more going on, because basically this person was raised in Yoakum County, Texas, attended McMurphy College in Abilene. In 1988, he became a state trooper in Cochran and Hockley counties. He also was a Texas DPS, narcotics officer and stationed in Houston. He worked undercover. He was a former Texas Ranger in 1998. So he has a very impressive resume, did a lot of things. In fact, he's been featured on GQ Magazine, Dateline, or I'm sorry, not on, but in GQ Magazine. Let me be clear, in GQ Magazine. His cases have been on Dateline, NBC, Snap, John Walsh's The Hunt on CNN, in the book Lady Killer, and also in another book, Let's Kill Mom. So
what's his name? Was it Tim Burch?
No, the sheriff's name is Tracy Murphy.
Okay, because I think Birch was the sheriff before Murphy. Okay.
Yeah, so he has, you know, he's done a lot. You can't take away from, you know, his accomplishments as an officer. However, when you take it to the level of a sheriff, you have so many facets of the job. And I just wonder if something else is going on. But one thing I also noticed is that the sheriff, his wife died and left him with four small kids to raise. And so I'm not sure, sometimes, you know, people may be gifted in one area or well-trained in one area. However, you know, life still happens. And so I'm not sure if that changed him as a person and maybe made him hard. I don't know. But I just found that when I read his resume, that's the only thing that stuck out, that the wife died and he had four children to raise alone. So
I'm going to try to see if I can reach out to Tim Burch, because let's just say me and Burch had a little bit of a past. We resolved it and worked it out over one of his deputies who kind of got a little, I think I told you about that off the record, how the deputy got a little over the top threatening me after he found out that I got a job and felt that I could pay for a ticket that I already had set out.
Wow.
So I'm going to talk to Birch and see where his head is at and see if he can be a little conduit to me to speak with Sheriff Murphy, because I want to get something resolved on this thing definitely in no later than Tuesday.
You know, I've never seen a case like this, because to me, due to the fact that his situation could be life-threatening, I just don't understand why the jail would keep him housed there, knowing that it could potentially turn dangerous and he could die. It just seems like to me that the only logical thing to do, it truly would be to say, okay, you know, you win this time, we're going to have to let you go because you're too big of a risk for the jail and we don't want a lawsuit. To me, that seems the simplest route.
Well, there's two reasons to that we had discussed earlier. Number one, they're that ignorant. And number two, they're that hard-hearted, and they always think that a person is either faking something, milking something, or they're thinking that this person, you know, is it's not that serious and that he's not going to die. You know, it's a lot of cynicism that goes into this job. I mean, you know, we've been butting heads about mental health and everything in there, because you still have some people that think mental health is nothing but an excuse to get leniency when they're being prosecuted. Right. And they don't understand that, you know, mental health is a serious issue.
Wow. And it is. I mean, and the crazy thing about, you know, a situation like Greg, even that is another level of what could potentially happen with him being in there, the stress of being in jail, not able to defend yourself, you know, your arm needing to be amputated, them not getting you out for care. That's enough to make a person snap. You know, so it's on so many levels.
I think thank God he's not a woman and has a breech pregnancy. They'll probably say that you know, they're probably talking about not getting an abortion. So if abortion had saved a life, they'll be saying, you know, you got to keep the baby and end up complicating matters and that person end up dying. I think that's going to be a serious issue for someone sooner or later. You know, a female getting you know, having a problem being pregnant and locked up.
You know, I can't even imagine, and I'm not playing the race card on this one, I promise I'm not, but I really had to look at this case, and I thought about Dr. King saying, an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Well, that said, I began to think to myself, if they're treating a Caucasian male this badly in the Denton County Jail, then no black man is safe.
Well, I go back to what I told you earlier, is that Denton County doesn't care about skin color.
Wow.
Everyone's equally worthless in Denton County. It's how much, well, it's like Capital One commercial. What's in your wallet? That's all they care about.
Wow. I don't know.
I'm saying that out of experience.
I yell, listen, I have worked in the jail before. And I understand, you know, Greg put out countless kites, you know, about needing medical attention. Did you get a chance to see those, Greg, the ones that Gregory put out?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so
I saw about 15 or 20 of them.
Wow.
I saw about 15 or 20 of them, but, I mean, I will admit sometimes, and I do mean sometimes, people will fill those things out and don't nothing be wrong with them, but kind of hard to fake a gangrene and an arm injury and everything like that. That one there, it transcends a level of, no, this guy is, you know, can't be joking. Plus, that's why he's supposed to have qualified medical staff there to make an assessment and determine this is a serious matter. And, you know, I mean, these people are playing some crazy games. This is not a student in detention that wants to go to the bathroom and you're afraid that he might skip class if you let him go to the bathroom. I mean, this goes beyond even that matter.
You know, listen, I have personally, y'all, to be very honest, I typically only do so much as a host because Dick Gregory, who I considered a mentor, told me once that it's not my story, that I'm just a storyteller. So typically when I log off on these shows, I don't get involved anymore because it is just a level of professionalism to just stay a little distant from the story itself. But in this particular story, I've made numerous calls. I've made numerous calls, filed complaints. I've done well above what a talk show host normally does, trying to help this particular situation. I've contacted the county commissioner's office. I've called the jail administration and spoke with Ginger Hawkins. I've talked to the chief of the jail, Chief Cavers. And you name it. I have tried to do it, to try to assist with trying to get him help. I think the family, and I'm going to say this, and Mr. Jeff, if Mr. Jeff is upset with me because an attorney reached out to me, I don't know Calvin, Billy, what was his name? I'm sorry. The attorney that reached out to me today, to ask about their particular case. I think they assumed that I knew the man. I don't know him personally. He reached out to me, asked me about Greg's case, and I told him that I was working with the family and I could give him the family's information. That's exactly what I did. I did not get involved trying to negotiate any pricing or anything like that. I did not. I just passed the information on. And I think they're very upset because of the price that was put. Billy Clark, attorney Billy Clark, reached out to me today and asked me about the story. He saw that I posted it even on my Facebook page. And I told him, let me put you in contact with the family. Let me finish. Let me put you in contact with the family. And that's exactly what I did yet. So I gave Christian Renee. Okay, is there something going on in your background?
A little bit. The fan's running, but I'm about to shut it off in a moment.
Okay.
But the thing is that...
Let me finish. I gave Christian Renee, or I put Christian Renee in contact with Billy Clark, and also gave Jeff Forley his number. Now, if they don't agree with his price, I get it. But I was just passing on information. But to get mad at the messenger, that makes no sense. I mean, because I don't know Billy Clark from a can of paint. I don't know him personally. He's a Facebook friend. He saw the post and he asked what I could tell him about it. Rather than me relaying the story, I put him in contact with Jeff's family. So if they feel like whatever he asked for as a retainer or a down payment was unacceptable, then you say, no, I can't pay that. Can we work out a price that I can work with? If they say no, then I get it. Then there's thousands of other attorneys out there. But to get mad at me, the messenger, doesn't make any sense with all the work that I put into this particular story to try to help. So that makes no sense to me. I mean, I'm lost.
Well, to put some sense into it, this is a very stressful situation, and of course, the crux of the whole thing is about money, and money was already hard enough to come by now, but now people are paying 2 to 3 times the amount that they was paying even 3 years ago on gas for your car, a car if you have that. Food, rent, everything is either doubled or tripled. People have jobs now where they have a job, but that's it. You go to work, you come home, but you're broke. Why? Because you spend so much money just to even go to work. And those things is already wearing a person's patience thin. But then the law. Courts have been closed literally for 2 years behind the COVID. Mm-hmm. So now these attorneys is trying to play catch-up, trying to get back on it, and they're taking the urgency of this matter of what's going on to, well, like I said, like Capital One commercial, what's in your wallet? People don't understand that most people these days don't have money, much less something for a matter this urgent. You're talking about, oh, I can help you. I can fill out the brief. I can sign this, sign that, and then we can do it. Okay, great. So sign this contract, and I'm going to need $10,000 up front. You know, you might get punched in the nose if you're in the same room. So I'm just saying, I see both sides of this issue, but the problem is it's about money. I mean, a lot of people, Elmo, let me rephrase that. Most people don't have money. The majority of the people who are prosecuted or persecuted in this manner are poor people. Because you would not be doing Margaret Hunt Hill's family like this. You wouldn't be doing the Lamar Hunt family. You wouldn't be doing this to Jerry Jones family. You wouldn't be doing this to the Cubans. Those people make prosecutors and police officers go away. But when you're dealing with regular people like ourselves, even like Reggie Ruffin, I mean, Reggie Ruffin don't have that type of money. You put me in jail right now, say $5,000, Reggie Ruffin's staying. So that's what all there is to it.
Right.
And,
we're going to go to a commercial, and then we're going to pick up, I think this is Christian on the line, and she's going to explain to us more about what we're missing about this whole thing. Okay, y'all, here's River Tree Academy.
It's a great day at River Tree Academy. We are a private Christian school in the Lake Como community that strives to provide an environment where students can learn well, love well, work well, and lead well. We still have openings available for incoming 3rd through 5th grade students to enroll. Visit us on the web at rivertreeacademy.org to find out more and enroll today.
Good evening, Christian. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I understand that you all spoke with the attorney and you all were not able to come to an agreement on the price.
On the personal injury part, he's beneficial because on that type of issue, it's a contingency fee contract. But for a criminal lawyer, it's different. They want this much money for a retainer, but they want this much money down, and they'll work with you. But, I mean, like, we don't have that kind of money. If we had that kind of money, we would just bail him out.
Okay, gotcha. So do we know what his bail is?
Well, for him to get out of Denton County, that was what that retainer was. That was just for those two charges in Denton. That's it. That's not including any of the Collin County. But we're not worried about that because they've already, a year prior to this, they let him, released him so that he could get the treatment and do what he needed to be doing, which he was doing, and he was going to all his court dates, and they weren't going to arrest him as long as he, you know, showed up like he was supposed to. But he was able to get the medical treatment. That was out of Collin County.
Okay.
I'm just a friend.
You're just a friend. Gotcha. Okay. So let me understand. So the judge, I understand, told Reggie that he can get out on a medical bond.
Correct. But a lawyer has to file that. A criminal lawyer.
A criminal lawyer. So you all need a criminal lawyer to file a medical bond to get Gregory out. So there's no way that you could do the paperwork yourself. It has to be done by somebody.
I mean, because I've been trying to find every other avenue that I could possibly come up with to try to do that, to where I could do that. But he's not sentenced, so he's in this gray area, and he's not going to be on parole anytime soon because he's just in custody waiting to be sentenced. He's technically not even proven guilty.
So can someone who's a paralegal do the paperwork?
I don't know about that. I'm sure that's kind of how that goes anyway. I'm in some type of office like that with a lawyer and all that. I think that's probably who does that kind of stuff. But I don't personally, I don't know anybody to do that type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. So, Reggie, what did the judge say to you?
Basically the same. But see, what the judge was telling me, she kind of jerking me around saying that he has to have an attorney and that the attorney would have to take the lead on this, as if the judge can't take the impetus of the of the fact that this is a life or death situation, and that that there's a life or death situation, and that they can't just file an emergency order to have him released, which they do have the levity to do. They can do these things. But this ain't a matter of what can be done, it's what won't be done. And they're hiding behind so many petty excuses to do these things.
They're trying to point the blame to somebody so nobody has to be accountable for anything.
Absolutely. That's very, very well said. That's what the problem we're having. The problem's going to be even greater. If this kid dies, there's going to be all types of hell to push around. But then everybody's going to be scrambling like rats on the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's going to be
pretty sad.
Yeah.
But
it's disgusting.
I'm still hoping that someone in the media would take the helm on this thing. But,
were you in the meeting?
No, I said in the media. I reached out to a couple of reporters on this matter.
Yeah, I've had a couple contact us, I don't remember which one it was. I've spoke with Brooke Colombo at the Denton Record Chronicle, and then somebody from Dallas News also contacted me.
Really?
Right.
So there's
we need TV news.
Well, the Dallas Observer also spoke with Jeff. So there are stories, I believe, in the works.
Okay.
But
right. That's not.
Yeah.
But that's not helping Greg right
it's
now as
not
far
helping
as in the
Greg.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna overall, like, big picture wise, I feel like that something should change for this situation because he, like I said, he's in a gray area of. There's no technical form that a family member could go file to get him out of that because that's one of those gray areas that nobody ever – probably – I don't feel like this has probably ever happened at all because I don't feel like I found anything similar to this in any of the research that I've done, which I'm pretty good at research. So
It's happened more than we'll ever know because in other situations that have happened like this, once they once they got everything taken care of, They filed a non-disclosure agreement. They couldn't talk about it. They get in front of stuff like this all the time. Because this would not be the first. That's the reason why this is happening to him now, because this happened many times before. But we'll never hear about it.
One,
something really bad happens, or if it happens on video.
Yeah.
So
How
is Greg's spirit right now?
He's actually not very good spirits today, which is pretty out of the norm for him. He's very much a positive, optimistic person just in general about everything. He always looks at something as the good in it, and he doesn't try to see the bad in it. He's just like that. But he's having a little bit struggle today because I know his hand is like four times the size as it was 2 days ago.
Whoa. So his hand is swelling up.
Which is what happened the last time, and right before he got gangrene.
Wow.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, they're just going to let him sit there and get it again, basically.
So did he notify the staff that his hand was beginning to swell again, and that, you know, that's what happened the last time when he got gangrene?
Yeah, and then today when he went to sick call, he told me that he took his celly with him so that he could have a witness. Because he's tired of, you know, he's like, I need a witness every time. That way I know that it might not be beneficial and at some point there's somebody is going to say something about that. But, I mean, obviously nobody cares there. So if there's somebody witnessing it, whether it's an inmate or not, I mean, I don't know. I feel like any person that is in the medical field, your job as a person that works in the medical field is to help people, not judge people because of where they're at in their situation in life. It's about helping people, and I just don't understand why they're not helping them.
So when you go there, what is the vibe in the jail?
Say that again?
When you go to the jail to visit him, what is the vibe in the jail? Do you get
he doesn't get visits like that. They have been grandfathered in to have only video visitations. There's absolutely no contact visits in that jail except for if it's your lawyer.
Wow. Since when?
I learned that today. Since 2020, so I guess since the last sheriff they had, he changed that and it got grandfathered in.
And the sheriff has the right to change what he wants and enforce what he wants.
Yeah. And the sheriff now, apparently, he likes negative news, so he has a lot of that, and he likes that type of, that's what I'm getting out of everything that I've seen, because apparently he's not really all that great
about
him. You
got a lot of drama
now.
Queens in law enforcement now, so I get it, but this, you know, this is one that, this is the one that I heard not too long ago, was the fact that, well, since this is a white guy, it's going to be hard to prove that this is a civil rights violation. I'm like, civil rights does not go by skin color.
Nothing should ever go by that. I hate that.
I remember a young man who got beaten up and killed by Harris County deputies down in Houston. He still has, it still is a civil rights violation just because he was white and the officer was white. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, for
but
sure,
people,
I agree.
People have a very dim-witted view about civil rights, and that's very tragic and scary.
It's because nobody actually probably knows even what they are. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Reggie. I'm just saying, most people probably don't even know what they are, and that's sad because, I mean, they don't even teach cursive writing in school anymore. Like, what?
Let's go back, Christian. When he got arrested, tell me what happened. Okay, the arm had – he had been in an accident in 2019, okay?
Correct.
And I understand the arm was not – he didn't have any feeling in the arm from the accident.
Correct, but he was still able to do therapy and use a TENS machine, which helped him a lot, actually. I'm the one who turned him on to the TENS machine, and not, you know, and he has to train himself to reuse it, basically, just like any other person if they get in an accident, you know. It's therapy. It's all about working your body so that you can learn again. Like, I don't know. I don't know how more to explain it, but he was in the process of doing that, and he actually had gained a lot of movement
I've been in therapy, and I know in a situation like that, you're trying to just work the arm back to where it can halfway be functional. But then when you turn around and you have a stint, I mean, from my understanding, he was making his bond appearances. He was doing everything that he was supposed to do until he got COVID. And then when he turned around and rescheduled, he said he had COVID. He called the bond office. He said he had COVID. They said okay. And
there's
of course,
even proof
he couldn't
of that.
Go up there to show him that they had COVID.
Yeah.
But then they're gonna send a bounty hunter a few days before he's supposed
door.
To go and report to snatch him and lock him up. And then that's where this cataclysm chain of events worked out. And then now that bounty hunter is now deceased because he was killed in that raid over there in Garland early last
on
month.
On 30 in Beltland.
So, I mean, this thing is just it's a series of unfortunate events that has snowballed into,
agreed.
You know, this issue we're having now. It's almost like a made-for-TV type of a story.
Kind of, right?
Let me clarify something, though. Okay, during the arrest, well, let me back up. When he injured the arm, they put a stent in the arm so that it could increase
correct.
The blood flow? Okay. So
correct.
When he was arrested, is it not true that he told the officers to not put his hands behind his back because of issues with the arm?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So how long was he in the handcuffs with his hands behind his back?
He said about 3 hours, and during the trip from his, I'm assuming, apartment where he was at when he got arrested to the jail, the officer pulled over, I think he said, like, Whataburger or something, and went inside and got food and then came back and then took him. He said they were at the whatever restaurant that was for like 20 minutes. I don't know if that's relevant or not, but I just feel like Reggie was just saying, an unfortunate chain of events that just keep adding and adding to his situation that have made it become the situation that it is.
Okay.
Well,
so,
but here's the thing that bails them out. They had more than enough time from the time he was brought in to the time he was sending those kites. They could have took him to the hospital. Would be like the first few weeks, the first month.
I mean, they could have done it in but less than that, honestly, because his hands started turning
purple
like right away. And
so
once y'all started doing all that, that should have been considered an emergency at that point.
I agree 100%.
So when did he start putting in kites?
And had they done that, they would have saved the arm now, and he wouldn't have had the blood clots and then the stroke.
Okay, this
is just a case of absolute apathy. When you have people that just don't give a damn about anything about another person because it's not happening to them or it hasn't happened to them, this is the issue that we're facing right now.
Well,
and
let me ask
you know
this.
I mean? That's on the system.
Let me ask you
this. It's a very heavy-handed, hard-hearted, you know, just don't care about the other person's feelings.
Okay,
and
let me ask
the reason why we're having the problems we're having now with law enforcement and the justice system.
Okay, let me ask a question, please, y'all. So when did he begin to submit kites?
We could just only pray that we can some way somehow get this thing to go through.
Can I ask you a question? This is an important question. When did he begin to submit kites saying that his arm was in trouble.
I'm looking for that right now. I'm trying to get the exact amount of time. I'm just going to pull it up.
Well, I don't have that file in front of me, but I did see the file. He was doing this thing like every day. When you're in custody, that's the... I'm sorry. When you're in custody, that's what the choice you got to make. That's what you have to do. You have to file out those things because then they'll say they never knew.
That's a crucial point. For at what point did he begin to say, I got a problem, please help me, help me, help me, and they did not render him aid for his condition? So while he looks like...
I'm trying to find that exact date right now for you. Just give me one second.
Right.
You are allowed to fill out one medical request form once a day. So for him to have done this, he did this actually for a whole month. That's negligence.
He was arrested February 15, 2022. We are currently...
I saw at least 22 kites he had filled out.
Okay. He was arrested.
It should not take that many. After three kites, you're supposed to be going to a doctor. And from my understanding, he did go to see a doctor, Dr. Anthony Rios, who was their contractor through the jail to look at the prisoners, and Rios had him slated to have surgery done on the arm, and then someone from the jail sent an email and said that Corley refused to have the treatment, which put things back in the line. So that's why I said definitely needs to be an investigation on this matter, because these are all things that just doesn't make sense that a man's going to do this to himself at the expense of losing an arm. I mean, that's just going a little too far at that point.
Okay, he was arrested.
But the consensus is he's a prisoner, he's an inmate, he's a criminal. He has no passion. He has no heart. He has no integrity.
Christian,
that's why they treat him like an animal.
Yeah, the earliest date that I can see on here, just skimming real quick, it looks like the 6th. Of March.
Okay, so all the way from the 6th of March to currently we're July 8th, 2022, he's been needing to get this arm dealt with. So
now he's going backwards with it because they canceled his surgery.
Okay, so he first told them on March 6th to put the first kite in on March 6th that he needed to see the doctor. Do you know when they got him out of there into a hospital to see the surgeon?
Dates on that, I don't think. I mean, it was like, I want to say it was almost a month by the time he actually went to the doctor. It was close to that or something. I think maybe a month or a little bit more. I think it was like 40-something days,
so after
if I remember
March,
correctly. Say that again?
A month or so after March.
No, it was like, correct, yes. He was like 42 days or something like that before they actually took him to the doctor.
Wow.
Outside of the facility.
That by itself is bad.
Go ahead.
Say what?
Go ahead.
So by the time he saw the doctor said the damage had already been done and the arm needed to be amputated.
From the elbow down, yes.
Wow.
By that time, the gangrene, I'm sure, set in real deep by then.
Yeah, he's heading there again.
So when he saw the doctor, he had already gotten gangrene?
Yes, because the doctor had to prescribe him antibiotics to take along with his Plavix, I think is what they call it, for blood thinners, so he doesn't get blood clots.
So what are his cellies saying? Are they concerned, like, man, they need to get you out of here because, you know, something could happen? Because, you know, other inmates are always watching – and know what's going on.
Yeah, well, I do know that when Greg was having, I'm pretty sure he did have a stroke. I mean, everything that he described that was happening to him, I mean, I didn't speak to him for 24 hours, and that's not normal. So one of the guys that's in the pod with him or whatever called me and was like, you got to call 911 or something because they're not doing anything for him, and he's, I think, having a stroke.
And what were the symptoms?
He was... throwing up blood. He was throwing up a bunch. He was passed out and hit his head a couple of times. He had, like, the sweats, but he was, said he was cold. He said he had, like, a pounding headache, like, at way after all of that, but I'm sure that was probably from hitting his head. But he definitely had stroke-like symptoms, for sure.
Wow.
And he sounded very different when he called me finally after the 24 hours or whatever. When he did call me, he sounded very groggy, and, like, you could tell that he was not feeling good.
Wow. So did the jail staff see him then? And if so, what did they say?
I mean, from what I get out of what I get, because, I mean, I talk to him every day, multiple times a day.
Wow.
It's pretty much they act like he doesn't exist. It's like if they act like he doesn't exist, then they don't get in trouble for something. Or I don't know. It's just really strange to me.
So when they're doing, and y'all know what? I worked in a jail before, so I kind of know how this kite thing goes. When you submit a kite and you say you need to see the medical staff, then when they have the nurse call, they call your name, and then you get a chance to go and see the nurse. So is he submitting, like, he's submitting these kites to go see the nurse? Are they calling him for the nurse's call, or are they not calling him?
Yeah. I mean, when they call him for his medication, yes, but they don't ever call him for anything else, and he'll try to go stand in line, and they refuse him. He's grievance. He sends probably a grievance on somebody every day because they basically turn him away. I mean, he did one today. That was when he took his celly with him as a witness, so that he had a witness. So, inhumane is what it is.
Wow.
Any person that's in the medical field should be helping. What was that?
That's got to mess with you that you're in jail, you can't leave when you get ready, and the people who are supposed to be responsible for your care are treating you badly, inhumanely, you know, and there's nothing you can do because you've exhausted everywhere you know to go to complain, and still nobody's doing anything. This is crazy.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you're about to lose your arm. So, I mean, deal with that all by yourself. It's pretty messed up.
So has he ever
talked about this?
Has he ever talked to the shift commander or, you know, the people in charge of the
state? Doug Sanders, which is a chief head of the medical department. It's like chief medical something, officer or something like that. And then he's even spoke with Barry Caver, which I'm pretty sure he's like the second person highest in the whole facility.
Yeah.
So,
I spoke to Lisa Hunter, she spoke to all of them.
Y'all, when I spoke with, what's her name, Ginger Hawkins, she's the detention admin specialist. You know, she pretended she didn't know who he was. You know, let me let you talk to somebody else. I'm not who you need to talk to. You know, so she then refers me to the chief of jail, Chief Cavers. You know, who at that time didn't come to the phone, you know, so it's been crazy. I mean, when you call them, and then there's another guy who does come to the phone, but his conversation is just borderline, like, are you serious? You know, they're more concerned about who you are than they are about Greg's condition.
What you're calling about? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. What you call about?
I got the same runaround when I started calling up there, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they're good. They'll put you on hold, drown you out for about a few minutes, come back. Well, let me do such. And
or they'll just hang
up
on you. That's
yeah, exactly. I was getting to that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's very frustrating when you're sitting up here appealing for someone's livelihood and everybody thinks it's a joke. Like we're his relatives. Playing his game, like we like you remember when Bernie Mac made a good thing about how he got out of going to work for the weekend because he wanted to go to the Cool Jazz Festival. So he had someone call the supervisor's office and say that his brother got shot, and then you sit there and play like, oh wow, that's what man, I'm gonna have to go. And you know, that's the mentality that it's very verbose that people will sit up there and actually believe. You'll go out of your way to do anything you can, like a conspiracy, just to get out of just doing something simple. And now they're doing it in reverse.
You know, and the thing is he don't care if he's going to do time. I mean, he is going to do some time at some point, but why are you just going to dry ass let him sit there and basically, like, hope that he dies, basically, is what I feel like they're trying to do.
Wow.
And that'll
you know,
be the lie if he walks back. He'll be trying to walk that lie back if it does happen. Because, I mean, the worst thing that can happen to him, other than dying, is the fact that he gets a major stroke and then becomes so physically incapacitated he can't take care of himself, and then everyone has to take care of him for the rest of his life. That's
yeah.
worse. And you're
I
talking
agree.
To someone who has suffered a stroke before. I'd rather be dead than to be an invalid that can't do anything for myself.
Agree.
Adrian Smith.
He's too young for any of that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Exactly.
Adrian Smith is inboxing me, and basically his request is that he's talking with an attorney friend who is asking, can he get the father's contact information? Mr. Corley may be listening. I don't know. He's mad right now, but it doesn't have anything to do with me.
He's pretty mad right now.
He's what?
He's pretty mad right now, but he's cooling off.
Yeah, he's cooling off.
Yeah. Well, I was going to call him after the show anyway.
Yeah, that's good because he said he tried to call you, but he was mad. He probably wouldn't be anything helpful right now.
Right. He's saying Christian and I did had a conversation. Jonathan, earlier. Okay, I'm sorry.
We had a meeting earlier.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be reading Adrian's text to me. Just to make information. Basically, they're just wanting to talk with his father and, you know, I guess, get more information about the situation and see if that attorney can help. And tonight, I'm going to make a plea, and even though Mr. Corley ain't talking to me right now, I'm okay with that. Listen, I did tell him I would do this. Tonight, we are making a plea on behalf of Greg. Greg is in trouble. We all see that. We all know that. And so tonight, we're asking if anybody can help. We're asking to make phone calls to the jail. The jail number is 940-349-1600. That's the jail number. The county commissioner's office is 940-349-2830. Get on the phone as soon as you can and leave them a message as well. And if you want to contact the Department of Justice, that's 202-514-3847. That's 202-514-3847. And also, he needs an attorney. Greg needs an attorney ASAP to put in the paperwork for that medical board so that he can get out of there. And so Mr. Corley, his father, is in distraught right now because he just, you know, he just is in a desperate situation where he does not have the finances to pay an attorney $10,000 or $5,000 or whatever. He just doesn't have it. So he needs an attorney who's willing to do a pro bono right now just so we can get Greg out of there and into a hospital so that he can get the needed care. Would you agree with that, Chris? Is that what we're trying to
yes,
do?
Yes, I mean, because, yes, and then I was also going to say his judge said she would sign it, okay, but I don't understand why she can't just take it upon herself to do it. So if blow up the judge's office, I don't care. Her name's Judge Leanne Breeding out of Denton County.
Oh, okay, so Judge Leanne, and
that's his judge.
It's spelled Breading, isn't it? B-R-E-A-D-I-N-G?
I think it's two E's.
Is it two E's?
No, it's E-A, like bread.
It is E-A? Okay, I wasn't sure.
Right.
Okay, so
I got you.
So Breading, I'm sorry, I said it wrong.
Okay, what time should I
call? So I did have the pleasure of talking to her coordinator, and matter of fact, I sent Judge Breading an email 2 days ago, and then that same day, I spoke to her assistant. The assistant said that she can't get involved in it unless, you know, unless she has a lawyer who. The attorney, Dominic Marsala, is withdrawing because he's having an issue with Greg as well. I'm not Greg, with Jeff, the father. He said he didn't like Jeff talking to him the way they was talking to him, and said, you know, he just doesn't, that just doesn't go and work with him. You know, I can respect that and understand it. But the thing is, this is not even so much to Marsalis, the fact that they can let this man out. And seriously, stuff is, it's going to end up, his charge is going to end up getting dismissed. And he's going to end up suing them. He's going to get a lot of money behind him. And so, I mean, there's a lot of jealousy behind that. They're not going to like the fact that he may profit from this. But, hey, if you give me between the money and losing an arm, I think I would rather keep my body parts.
Okay, I'm hearing that we're sounding muffled. I think, Ricky, whatever that is in your background.
In my background?
Oh, you know, it's probably my air conditioning. Hold on.
Okay, that's your background because it's sounding
I'm
normal.
Sorry. It's probably me.
Okay.
I'll turn it up so it shuts off. Is that better?
Yeah, that's
I'm
better.
Sorry.
Yeah, so it's coming across muffled. Okay, so Mr. Jeff said he's going to call in a minute.
Oh, he is? Okay, good.
I know. I can understand he's upset. I get that. But tonight, we're making a plea for Greg. So we're going to start hopefully, and do this for Greg because he has to do it for himself. And we kind of got him to call in tonight, but the last time he called in, it was very muffled as well. And so we're just going to hopefully be able to tell his story for him tonight and then circulate his story. We're asking anyone who's listening tonight to please take this show and share, because we're trying to put all the details out there that we can so that the media and anybody else who wants to pick up on the story who can help a possible attorney, possibly a judge, can help Greg. So that's what we're trying to do tonight is put out the information that's needed so that he can get the much needed help. Would you agree with that, Christian?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Okay. Right. So what does Greg want from people? What does Greg want people to do for him? What does Greg want people to do for him? Is he asking specific people?
I mean, just if the same thing you just said, if anybody is willing to be pro bono, because, I mean, they're technically for a lawyer to have their license, they have to do so many pro bono things for them to be a part of their – it's a part of the license. That's how they do it. So there's got to be
right.
one out there that actually has a – and is empathetic to the situation that's willing to help. Like, what does it matter? Like, his life is on the line. He's only 33 years old.
Oh, my God. Does he have
children? I mean, all attorneys – attorneys are required to do 600 hours of pro bono work every year for their law life. But the
correct.
Other problem also is going to be the just trying to get the bond thing done. But that's not even a problem just for the simple fact that this being a personal injury matter, that the main thing is it's the urgency of what needs to be done to save this man's life. That should not be that complicated.
I just don't understand why if he's going to take the personal injury case, why he couldn't include that contract of the criminal part so he could become his lawyer all the way around and include it in the contract. And, like, it's not, you know what I mean? Because there is going to be another, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me.
Because they have to file a motion to have counsel replaced. Now, I do not
I get that part.
No,
what I meant was.
I'm saying. Mr. Marsalis is still considered his attorney, and I don't know if he has or has not turned in officially his motion to withdraw. All of those things have to be clear for another attorney to come in. Now, that
correct.
I do know it has to be done.
I do know that. And I actually, Greg had me tell his lawyer today, if you're not going to file what I'm asking you to file, then withdraw from me completely, like, so he can get somebody else.
Right.
Okay, let's stop for a second. First of all, we want to make clear, what is the attorney who's saying that he's going to withdraw? What's his name?
Dominique Marsalis.
Dominique
Marsalis.
Okay, we want to put
right.
Mr. Marsalis on blast tonight. If you ain't going to help,
yep.
move on. If you're not going to help,
yep.
move on. So we need to call you and put you on social media and blast you. We will. FYI, we will. But if you're not going to help, now it's time to move on.
Correct.
Right?
I'm with you on that. Yes.
Okay. And so let me ask you this. Does Greg have kids?
Yes, he does. He's calling me right now. Should I get him on here?
Yes, if you could, please.
Okay, one second.
Okay. So she's going to try to get Gregory Travis Corley on the phone. That's what we're talking about tonight, y'all. He is currently housed in the Denton County Jail and needing an arm to be amputated, and they're they got reason to give him medical attention. So
hello.
He's trying.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. If you could speak up for me a little bit.
All right. Can you hear me a little better?
We can. So tell us, you know,
okay,
right now, what's going on with your arm?
It is now back to where it was before I even had the carotid bypass. It is swollen to 3 times the size of my regular arm. My hand is solid purple. It's purple all the way up to my elbow. It's ice cold. They cannot find a pulse. I'm going down to medical, and they tried to find the pulse with a Doppler. And, of course, the nurse said, okay, it looks great. Go back to your dorm. They're literally not doing anything to try and help me. I've asked my attorney, Dominique Marcella, who is now withdrew from my personal injury suit, to file the medical bond. And I do have a new personal injury attorney, Mr. Billy Clark. And Dominique Marcella just told me a minute ago on the phone that if I would have Mr. Billy file the medical bond or ask him to file the medical bond, that he would do it. But I literally don't have anybody to help me get medical attention. I'm not necessarily worried about getting out of jail. I need immediate surgery because the carotid bypass is a plastic tube that goes straight to my brain that is now clotted. It is now completely clotted with a blood clot. There's no blood flow to my right arm whatsoever, and I'm an extreme risk for a stroke or a blood clot, which can cause death or paralysis or all kinds of situations, and I literally cannot get any medical attention here in Denton County.
Wow. So what do you need people to do?
The lead, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, we've tried calling up here. They literally don't do anything. We put up my GoFundMe. I haven't really had too much luck with that either. I've asked for legal help. I literally don't know what to, I'm at a loss for words. I don't even know what to do anymore. Doug Sanders, the head guy over medical, called me down there and told me to my face, he said, we are not going to pay for your surgery because it costs too much. But because they already had my surgery scheduled for the amputation. And then they sent a refusal, said that I refused the surgery, forged my name on it, and told the surgeon that I didn't want it anymore, that I decided I did not want the amputation. That is not true. And now my surgeon has even told my family, we are trying to get you to surgery, but Denton County will not let it happen. So I don't know what to do. My hands are tied, and I'm in fear for my life. I'm in extreme danger for death, and I'm only 33 years old. This is not fair to me.
And she just told us you have a child.
Sure. Say that again, ma'am.
She just told us you have a child as well.
I do. I have an 11-year-old son, and I have a stepson who just turned 9. And
wow.
I'm a certified electrician. I'm a certified HVAC. I'm OSHA trained. I'm a certified construction worker. I had my whole life ahead of me, and now literally because of the neglect of Denton County, because they would not listen to me when I told them I had a stent in my arm when I was being arrested, I told them, I said, I cannot have my arm behind my back. I'm not going to give you any problems whatsoever. Please cuff me at the feet, cuff me in the front, cuff me to the chair, cuff me to the car, however you got to do it, but please take my hand out from behind my back. I have a subclavian stent that I cannot have behind my back. They did not listen. It took them 2 weeks to finally send me to the hospital after I was incarcerated. My arm was purple. The doctor told me then you need to go to UT Southwestern to have an emergency surgery to get that stent fixed because it's already clotted. It took them another 2.5 months to even get me sent out for an angiogram to discover that it was so far clotted then it would cause death. It was a 99% chance I would die if they tried to remove it. Three weeks after that, they finally sent me to have the carotid bypass. I had the carotid bypass, and at the same time that my surgeon saw that I had gangrene on the back of my hand, which I'm at extreme risk for developing right now, there's pictures of that have been posted online where the back of my hand is missing all the skin, and my surgeon had to give me antibiotics there. All they were doing here at the jail then was wiping it with sterile irrigation water and putting a Band-Aid over it, and they told us, just don't look at it, it'll be all right. When my surgeon saw it, he said, what in the hell is going on at Denton County? I said, it's what's not going on. I can't get no medical attention. Every guard that I have 10 guards who are willing to testify for me in court. They've tried their best to get me to medical, and that I've been given no medical attention whatsoever, none. And I don't know what to do. My family has called 911. We've called the U.S. Department of Justice. We've called jail standards. We've called everybody that we can call. We've been in contact with Just Cause. We put it all over Facebook. We went to every media channel we can go to. And literally, I cannot get anything done. My judge just now told us on Thursday that if an attorney will present her with the medical bond, she will sign off on it because she had no idea about my whole situation.
Mm.
I literally don't know what to do.
Let me understand. Billy Clark will not do the medical bond?
He says that he can't because he's not my criminal attorney. I don't have the money to pay him to be my criminal attorney. He said he needs $10,000 to be my criminal attorney, and I don't have it.
Oh.
What's in your wallet? That's what I was saying.
He said he would take $5,000 now. He would take $5,000 now and $5,000 later. But if he's going to take my cases on a contingency fee for the lawsuit, which is a guaranteed win, they've already admitted guilt by doing the carotid bypass, then why can't he take everything on a contingency fee basis? That's what I don't understand. I don't have the money to pay him.
I literally was just saying that earlier.
Wow.
And I called Dominic Marsala, and he said, oh, well, your father talked to me a certain kind of way. And I said, well, you've got to understand his emotions are high. His son is sitting in jail at the risk of dying. I've already had a stroke once since I've been here. It took them 4 days to get me to the hospital after that. But a guy got dizzy last night, and they brought 6 different officers in here last night and 3 medical staff to come and check on him. They came back and checked on him 3 times. It took them 6 hours to get one nurse
baby aspirin.
They're giving baby aspirin and Plavix.
Whoa.
And
okay.
The Plavix is not where it's not doing its job because Plavix is an anticoagulant that keeps this plastic tube from clotting. But I cut myself shaving on Tuesday night, and it instantly clotted and coagulated on my skin. So that's how you know the Plavix is not doing what it's supposed to do.
Whoa. That's
and if
because
you should
it's
see
so
my
critical.
Hand right now, I wish to God I could show y'all my hand. Kristen has pictures of it, but I wish I could show you my hand. It is literally 4 times bigger than my other hand. I cannot.
Wow.
I can't move it. When I came in here, I could bend it to the elbow, and I can almost move two of my fingers. After doing 2 years of physical therapy at home due to COVID, I was using the TENS unit that Kristen had given me and doing all the exercises that Parkland had given me, and I was gaining movement back of my arm. And I do have other criminal charges, but they're drug related. And after I was 190 pounds. I was 6'2". And I had my whole life. I had a company. I was doing everything that I was supposed to be doing right. And I got hit by an angry motorist on purpose over something that I had nothing to do with. I broke my neck, my back, and I had temporary paralysis of my right arm. After 9 days of being in the hospital, they literally rolled me to the front door and said, all right, you got to go because your insurance had lapsed because I had an insurance with my company. But I changed insurance company, so my insurance lapsed. They kicked me out of the hospital. I went home. I was rehabilitating myself. I was gaining movement back until I came into jail for a positive COVID test. And I have all the emails between me and my judge where they rescheduled my court date, but AAA Atlas came and kicked in my door and took me to jail, and I didn't even miss my court date. I'm literally being held here for no reason. I was out on bond here going to every single court date.
Wow. Listen, we're going to make a plea tonight. We're going to make a plea tonight. If anybody who is working in a jail knows any way to circumvent what we're dealing with here, please call in tonight. The number is 515-605-9321. If you work in a jail, know somebody works in a jail, knows about how to make maneuvers around, jail standards, let us know tonight. Please call in at 515-605-9321 and let us know. Say what, Christian?
I was just going to say it in the political careers of all of them, such as judges, lawyers, etc. They all have favors that they owe for somebody or something. So, come on. Just, have a little bit of empathy and not be so inhumane for once. Somebody help him.
This is the thing that I'm told here. Every guard that tries to help me, they're like, okay, well, because this is a privately owned facility, medical is its own entity here. Correctional health is its own entity. They cannot force them to do anything is what I'm told. But my Eighth Amendment right states whoever is detaining me, which means I have not been sentenced or convicted yet, which I have not, whoever is detaining me is solely responsible for all of my medical needs. And right now, medical health, correctional health in Denton County is not detaining me. Denton County Sheriff's is detaining me.
Okay, so wait a minute.
I'm not being detained by anybody.
Your Fifth Amendment rights are being abused as well.
Repeat that again who's detaining you?
Denton County Sheriff's Office is the one detaining me right now. They're the ones who put out the warrant and came and sent the bounty hunter to come and kick my door in, and who I was in their custody for 50 minutes and then overturned to the custody of Denton County Sheriff's, and I was left in cuffs for 2.5, almost 3 hours, and there's literally been not one single iota of care shown towards my situation. And I understand, like Doug Sanders said, well, we've never had this situation happen before. Okay, well, it's a real easy fix. Take me to a hospital. I'm not asking you to release me. I'm not asking you to reinstate my bond. But yet they've gone as far as to drop my felony charges down to misdemeanors and give me time served if I would take it. But now since Dominique's no longer my attorney on the criminals, on the lawsuit side, now it's went back up to 2 years TDC now because he's mad about what my father said to him. How can you not blame a father for being upset about his son the risk of losing his life while he's incarcerated?
Yeah, we want to call that attorney this week and let him know that that's not right. I mean, really, that's not right. Again, y'all, if somebody, a politician, a judge, someone knows how to fix this system, how to move around in this system to get this young man some medical attention, give us a call at 515-605-9321. Inbox me on Facebook. Let me know. Inbox Christian Renee. It's spelled K-R-I-S-T-E-N and then R-E-N-E. Is that not correct? Is that how it's spelled?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. Okay. Inbox her on Facebook or Jeff Corley on Facebook and let him know what's going on. Jeff Corley, he cannot get in to the phone line. He said that they won't let him in. So he's saying he cannot, for whatever reason, the call is not going through to allow him to call in tonight. Yeah, we're going to go back to a commercial and we'll be right back.
It's a great day at River Tree Academy. We are a private Christian school in the Lake Como community that strives to provide an environment where students can learn well, love well, work well, and lead well. We still have openings available for incoming 3rd through 5th grade students to enroll. Visit us on the web at rivertreeacademy.org to find out more and enroll today.
You know, Greg, we have called and made calls for you. Is there any way...
This call will be terminated in 2 minutes.
Are you aware that calls are being made on your behalf?
No. I mean, I know because of what my father tells me and what Kristen tells me, and I do know that whenever my wife tried to call up here and talk to some of them, as soon as you say my name, they hang up, and they literally will not tell anything. Miss Brooke Colombo from the Denton Record Chronicle called and tried to ask for open records as well as Kristen did, and they told her that pretty much unless I die, there's no records to be had.
Whoa.
Damn.
So, I mean, just like right now, if I could come up with the $5,000 to give Billy Clark, then I would do so that way he could represent me criminally and he could go and fill out for the medical bond. I don't understand why it has to be a criminal attorney. I mean, I guess because it's in a criminal court, but any attorney... If there's an attorney out there who's listening right now, if you could please go on my behalf.
This call will be terminated in 1 minute.
All I need to do is go to a hospital. I will gladly come back to jail and serve my time. I just don't want to die incarcerated.
Wow.
All right, well Greg, I have a couple of attorneys I'm going to be talking to tonight after I get out. I got to log off the show a little early, but I am still working on it, so I just want to let you know that I am still on it.
Thank you, sir.
That's Greg Corley in the Denton County Jail. If you would, please make phone calls to the Denton County Jail at 940-349-1600. Who else do you want them to call, Greg, before you get off tonight?
The commissioner's office, Dominique Marsala, the U.S. Department of Justice, anybody that you can call.
Y'all heard. Thank you tonight, Greg, for coming in. Know that we're praying for you. We're trying to help the situation in every way we know how. Did he hear me?
I think he.
Yeah, he's already gone.
I think he hung up on
him. Yo, this is crazy. This is like something I can't even. I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. I mean, you just can't make it up. Let me ask you, Christian, I don't know if you've ever dealt with jails in other areas, but have you ever seen anything like this before?
I mean, not to this extent. I mean, I've been in jails before, so I know that it is a process, and it shouldn't be that way. Like, just to even be seen, like, you don't get responded to for way more of a period of time than it should go, depending on the situation, you know what I mean? So the fact that his is literally as much of an emergency as it is, and they're literally just acting like he's non-existent, basically. I don't know. Why do you have a medical license if that's how you really feel? You shouldn't even be in that line of work because you're not trying to help anybody. Who cares where they are?
So they're acting like he's the problem when he comes up to them, showing them that his arm is getting worse.
Like he's
bothering. Wow. And so did I understand him to say that the medical staff is not connected to the jail?
I guess that's something that he's tried to explain to me before, I guess, because it's the county jail, so I guess it's privately owned, whatever.
Oh, wow.
The difference,
right,
is. So
they're contract workers. So they're
correct.
Contract workers. Okay. So then we
correct.
Need to find out who that company is, because we need to put pressure on them that if you all don't do the right thing, because you're getting paid by the county, the state, or whoever to come in there and provide medical services, and if they're not doing that properly, they should lose that contract.
I agree.
That's what I'm going to be trying to get done.
And see, I didn't understand it to be that way, so I know he's talked to me about that before, but I didn't understand it. All of a sudden it just hit me too, so definitely we'll be doing the same thing. Reggie, I'm going to be doing that too, so.
Yeah. Y'all, anytime somebody's got a contract to the state, they can lose the contract, or to the county, they can lose the contract. So if it's proven that they're negligent in their treatment of him, you know, and that, you know, the situation is worsening, and they're not, you know, advising the staff at the jail that they need to get them out of there, then they got to go, too. They got to go. I mean, because I thought the jail medical staff was a part of the jail. They were working for the county, but I didn't understand that they were subcontracting or hired, you know, to just be the medical staff. Anyway,
y'all,
that's a whole
nother little problem. I'm going to go ahead and close up the office, but I'm going to get back cracking on this. I'll call you when I get back to the house. I'll talk to both of us when I get back to the house. And,
thank you.
I hope
thank
that
you,
I have
Reggie.
Good news. Something occurred.
Thank you. Thank you. Yo, listen, so Christian, that sounds like the next avenue to put pressure on. And it's much needed pressure. It's not like you're picking on somebody. They're not doing their job. And
no,
so
they're not.
For whatever reason, why do you think that somebody who's a private company would take that stance for Greg unless it was told to them by the staff?
I mean, I don't know. I just, like I said, I'm, if you're in the medical field, whether you work at a jail or a school or a old folks home, you're there to help. So why isn't he getting help?
Wow.
Yeah, so, hypocritical.
It's not even, you know what, I have racked my brain on this one. Because, you know, literally, when I called the jail the other day, young man immediately put me on hold. And then when he finally came back to the phone and I told him why I was calling, he put me on hold and then eventually hung up the phone. And when I called back, I said, did you hang up on me? And he said, no, I think the call is dropped, whatever. Let me get you in contact with someone who can talk to you. And he did. And the person that I talked to quite a while. And I was just very surprised at his attitude. It was as though he had an attitude with me for asking the questions that I was asking about getting Greg to a hospital. I mean, he was more like, "Well, who are you?" You know, and it was more that than, "Oh my God, are you saying we got somebody in here that may die?" It wasn't that kind of concern. And I was surprised because I was saying you have something that's in there that has a life-threatening condition that needs to be addressed. And his attitude was not about the condition. It was more about who are you. So
yeah, I got the same agreement. I called right before I got hung up on.
They hung up on you?
I got attitude too. Yeah, I got hung up on and I got attitude also. I just quit calling up there because they literally would hang up on me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what they want. That's what they want us all to do.
Okay,
so that's when I started finding other avenues.
But it sounded like tonight Greg is really scared. Is that the one
you found? Yeah, he definitely is terrified. I thought he was. You're gonna die in there too. That's fucked up.
Okay, you went in and out.
I'm sorry. I was just saying he sounded very scared, and he's not in good spirits, you know, like he wanted to cry while he was talking, and I feel the same way, you know, like he shouldn't die in there.
Oh, let's you know what, y'all, first of all, we're not going to put that into the atmosphere. He's not going to die.
Sorry.
Say what?
I'm just very realistic. I like I said, Greg's more of the optimistic, positive version of a lot of people. Most people should be that way, but.
Well, we're not going to put in the atmosphere that anything bad's going to happen to him. We're going to apply pressure on the right ending so that does not happen. So we're asking everybody again to please, please, please make phone calls to the Denton County Jail. Listen as many as possible to 940-349-1600, ask for jail, ask for the sheriff, Monday through Friday, your business hours, and, you know, call the county commissioner's office, like Greg said, call the Department of Justice, you know, and tell them about Greg's story and demand that they get him out there and get some medical attention. Let me ask you, Christian, what happened when you called? Did you all call 911? Did you say you called 911?
Yeah, his dad did, and then because, you know, he has a Mesquite phone number, so it didn't go through, or he was trying to call, so I looked up, because every city or county or what town usually has, like, a non-emergency number.
Okay.
So I gave him a couple different ones to call, and he called, and it was like nobody did nothing. It was an emergency-type situation, I guess. To whomever, and I mean, I don't really know how much more you could describe his situation and not that it's not an emergency.
So you cannot, so let me understand, a person from the outside cannot call 911 for somebody inside the jail?
Not that I could figure out.
Okay. Wow. So literally you could know of a bad situation like Greg's situation, call 911, but they're not going to supersede going in there. Okay.
And checking on
it. That's
him.
Right.
Yes, and making sure.
And checking on it. Wow.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So basically, you're
just going in there. I'm sorry. Let me let you finish. Say what?
No, you're good. I'm sorry. It's your show, girl.
No. Go ahead. Finish.
Okay. Well, I was just saying the night that he was having stroke-like symptoms, that was the night that one of the inmates called me, and that was the night that we tried to call 911.
Wow. So you can say an inmate is having a stroke and still 911 can't get into the jail, or the ambulance cannot get inside of jail?
Not that we could make happen.
Oh, yeah, that's scary. Oh, wow, that's scary.
Yeah.
No one has talked with an elected official like a congressman or a senator or anybody like that?
So I have tried to contact, I think it was a representative, but I never got anything back. I have tried to contact Texas Rangers, but they said they only do help.
I don't know if you heard the first part of the show? Did you hear the first part of the show?
I did not. I'm sorry.
Okay. The sheriff, Tracy Murphy, Sheriff Tracy Murphy, is a very connected man. He's been a Texas Ranger. He's been a CPS, you know. Yeah. And so he was very desperate.
Sorry for calling back. Let me connect him real quick. I'm sorry to cut you off. Hold on.
So the sheriff, y'all, to make it very plain, he's probably very connected in law enforcement. So calling DPS,
are you
there, Greg? Calling Texas.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. Greg, listen, I was telling at the beginning of the show that the sheriff is a very well-connected person. He has a very colorful resume. He was a Texas Ranger. He was DPS. You know, he was narcotics. He was, you know, he did a lot of things, worked with the FBI, his mother. So I was telling them a minute ago that, you know, calling any of those agencies on him is probably not going to go very far, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I wasn't aware of that. But, yeah, he's done a lot. But it seems like, you know, he was very – he was well decorated with a lot of, you know, accommodations before he became sheriff. But I think this job is bigger than maybe he knew. He was endorsed by Ted Cruz. And so I don't understand. It seems like a lot of politics is involved. A lot of politics are involved.
Right.
But
Go ahead. Which, you know, I understand, like, and, you know, I'm told by everybody that I talk, this is a privately owned facility. And I was, whenever this first started to happen, my wife had called the state representative who her uncle is very close with, and they filed a complaint. And I was immediately taken down to Chief Dockery to talk to him. And all he was worried about was, where was I placing the blame? Because he knew that I had already hired Dominique Marsala to take the lawsuit. And he goes, well, look, I just want to make sure that you're not targeting Denton County sheriffs, that you know that medical is responsible. I said, well, that's not true, because your officers are the one who left me in handcuffs. And I said, and pretty sure I'm detained, like I said, by Denton County sheriffs. I'm not detained by medical. And it's y'all's responsibility to take care of me health-wise. If correctional health can't take care of it, send me to a hospital or sign a medical bond. I had the same exact situation happen a year ago in Collin County. They took me to jail. They left my hand behind my back for 2 hours plus. They crushed my stent. After 3 days, they finally saw that what was going on. My arm was turning purple. They took me straight to the hospital. They took me three different times during the blizzard to two different hospitals. They were told I had to have a specialty surgery. They came back. They signed off on my no bond that I had. They lifted my holds. They led me out, and they said, son, go to get your arm taken care of. I went straight to Parkland, got my arm fixed, and I was out for a year with no issues whatsoever. The other day when I went to medical, they told me, oh, your problem is you're not wearing a sling. I did not have to wear a sling in the world. I had movement of my arm when I came in here. I didn't have to have no surgeries. I didn't have to take no medicine. Everything was going well. I was gaining use of my dominant arm, but I was right arm dominant when all of this happened. And now the surgeon told me, because they waited for 3 months to finally bring you in to get blood flow back to your arm, you will never use that arm again. The only choice you have is amputation. We did the carotid bypass to provide temporary blood flow to the point where they were going to do the amputation, not even for the whole arm, to up above my elbow, halfway down my bicep, is where they were going to amputate. It's a temporary fix, and that fix is not even working now because the tube is completely clotted. You cannot feel my pulse, not at all. If you can find it with a Doppler, it's so faint that it would not even be registering on the Doppler. Like today when I went to medical and I have a witness, and I signed his name on the grievance for him to be the witness that he literally could hear the Doppler, which sounds like a sonogram, and you could not hear anything. There was, all it was static. There was no pulse found whatsoever. And they said, okay, looks good. Go back to your dorm. My arm is literally, like I said, three or four times the size of my regular hand, and it's solid purple.
Well, let's do this, Greg. Who are you being seen by at the nurse's station? Do you have a nurse name? Do we have any names of the nurses?
Yes, I was just seen by the last two times that I was saw by Nurse Perez, and I informed them on the grievance that I signed. I put her name on there, what time it was, what day it was, exactly what did not happen, and the fact that they told me it looks good, go back to your dorm.
Now, what is the name of the nursing? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
What is the name of what is the name of the company that's providing the nursing staff? You know?
Correctional Health.
Correctional Health. Y'all hear that? Correctional Health. Because I think they're as much to blame as anybody. Because they're basically complicit.
Right.
At the point in which they're not getting you out of their correctional health is just as responsible for anything that happens to you as the Denton County Jail would be. And we're gonna call them
like I've been told by several of the nurses told me we were instructed not to treat you is what Doug Sanders and Dr. Buchanan instructed all of their medical staff. Do not treat him because it would be admitting guilt. Well, you admitted guilt when you did the carotid bypass, because if you didn't think that it was a serious situation that you caused, you would not have paid the money for a carotid bypass to be done, because that was a very expensive surgery in and of itself.
Now, wait a minute. Who is Correctional Health saying, told them not to treat you?
Doug Sanders and Dr. Buchanan. Doug Sanders is the head of Correctional Health. And Nurse Hopper is the one who got me sent to the hospital the very first time, and he's the one who said, we were instructed not to treat you. And I said, who told you that? He said, our superior, Doug Sanders, and Dr. Buchanan.
And Dr. Buchanan. Wow.
The first time I've been here for 6 months. On the 15th will be 6 months. I've been to medical probably 30 times. And literally, I've been seen by a nurse every time. I've seen a doctor twice. I have seen a real physician twice. Once was on March 1st after the very first angiogram when they discovered that my stent was absolutely collapsed and occluded. And he told me, we're not too worried about your arm, but you sound upset. Would you mind taking a mild sedative while you're here to help improve the quality of your life? I said, excuse me, sir. I'm not here to get high. I need you to fix the injury that you caused and give me help for my arm.
Wow.
Then the next time I saw Dr. Buchanan was 4 days after I had my stroke.
After? 4 days after?
4 days after. It took them 4 days to get me in to see the doctor. But like I said, a guy sat down on the ground last night because he got dizzy because he stood up too fast, and they literally brought in three nurses immediately and then came back and checked on him three different times. But it took them 6 hours to bring one nurse. After I was puking blood, I'd fell and hit my head three or four times. I couldn't understand anything anybody was saying. I couldn't speak. The side of my face was drooping. It took them 6 hours to bring one nurse in here, and all they did was roll me to a holding cell and lay me in there, and I almost choked on my own vomit, and they left me in there for 6 hours. They brought me back out, brought me back to my cell, helped me out of my wheelchair into my bunk, and left me there for 4 days until finally somebody got them to send me to the doctor. The doctor said, okay, yeah, if you fell and hit your head and everything you're describing and the cellulitis on your leg that I can see, we're going to go ahead and send you to the hospital because it sounds like you had a stroke.
So do you feel like they're wanting you to die, or do you think this is just negligence? And if you were to die, it was due to the fact it's just negligence?
I feel like it's a little bit of both. I feel like Denton County Sheriff's is hoping that they will have to deal with a wrongful death suit because that won't be very much money out of their pocket. And I feel like medical staff here is just all the way incompetent and negligent. After the cellulitis developed on my leg, I walked up to the nurse and I told her, I said, do you know what cellulitis is? She said, no, I don't. I'm just here to pass out meds. I said, how are you a healthcare professional? You are a nurse. You don't even know what cellulitis is? She's like, I'm sorry, I'm just here to pass out meds.
Well, for anybody who may not understand what cellulitis is, please inform us.
It is when you have either a severe fever or you pass a blood clot. It is an infection that forms on your skin. It causes extreme pain in the leg. It can turn into sepsis, which can get into your bloodstream and it can cause instantaneous death within 24 hours if it gets into your bloodstream. Like, there's nothing you can do once the infection gets in your blood. It's kind of like how staph is, except for it's not the open wound. It's a surface infection. but it is definitely caused by extreme fever, which I had, and by passing a blood clot, which that's how the stroke happened in the first place.
This is crazy. I mean, on every level, this is crazy. I'm sorry, it's crazy. Go ahead.
Now, since my surgeon has, he's the one who called me out because they had the amputation scheduled. After 3 weeks had gone by, they still hadn't called me out after he told me it would be 3 weeks. 2 more weeks went by, they finally called me out for a face-to-face appointment. My surgeon, Dr. Anthony Rios at the Surgery Associates of North Texas, told me, he said, hey, I called you in, for one, to check on your carotid bypass to see how it's doing. He said, did they give you your medicine on time? Because he stressed the importance of not missing a single dose. It took them 4 days to give me the medicine that he sent with me from the hospital after the surgery and said he cannot miss a single dose. It took Denton County 4 days to give it to me. He said, well, that's probably why you have a weak pulse, because your tube is already starting to clot if you missed a dose of that medicine. I said, okay. Well, he said, also, I called you in because I called you out for your surgery. I said, yeah, I was wondering what happened to that. He goes, well, I called for you to be brought to the hospital for the surgery. We were ready for you. They sent me an email, and they showed me an email. He said, they said that you signed a refusal, that you decided that you no longer wanted the amputation. I said, that is not true. He said, I didn't think so. That's why I called you in today to talk to you face-to-face. He says, I'm going to reschedule you for the amputation. He rescheduled it. Whenever I talked to Doug Sanders for the first time 2 weeks ago, he told me, okay, we did cancel your surgery because of billing, because we're not going to pay for it. It costs too much. I said, well, it's already cost me more than any amount of money will ever replace. I don't think you understand what your negligence and your unprofessionalism has cost me.
So he basically...
Now, the whole time I was
in...
Let me ask you something,
because I'm going to be clear. You mean he's basically saying that your arm, you know, did not have the value of whatever the surgery was, so therefore they just weren't going to do it and you weren't going to need your arm, I guess? I don't know. I mean, they put a dollar amount on a man losing his arm?
Basically, they're putting a dollar amount on my life, because they know if they leave the arm on my body the way that it is, a blood clot is definitely going to form. I was already informed that by Anthony Rios. He said the only option you have is amputation, because they waited 3 months to bring you in with absolutely no blood flow. If you put a belt around your arm right now or a tourniquet around your arm right now and you left it on there for even 3 days or 3 weeks, much less 3 months, you'll never use that arm ever again.
Oh, wow. And that's the equivalent of what
time,
they
yes,
did.
Yes, I do have a guy. Yeah, that's exactly what they did, was crush my stent and allow it to form a clot, and I had no blood flow to my arm. Now I have to lose the arm. And, yes, I do have a criminal background, but the whole time that I was incarcerated in prison, I literally spent every day that I could be in class bettering myself, because, yes, I had committed a crime, but I wanted to do better for myself and my family, and I paid my debt to society. And just because I committed a crime doesn't mean I'm not a human. I didn't commit a heinous crime. I didn't commit any kind of violent crime. I've never had any kind of incident like that ever in my life. I was simply doing what I thought I had to do.
This call will be terminated in 2 minutes.
To provide for my family, and I paid my price, and I have enough certificates for what I did in prison to cover a California king-size bed, and I used that when I got out of prison and I developed a company. And I was working. I had several different apartment complexes I was a maintenance man for. I had several guys under me for a whole company. I had my whole life ahead of me. And now I have to start all the way over. And I don't even know what I'm going to do. I haven't even had time to adjust to the fact that I don't even have a right arm now. It literally has to be cut off my body. There's nothing they can do to save it. And I still haven't even had time to process that mentally, much less what I have to do physically to recoup after what it's finally done, when it ever it gets done, if I even make it to that. I feel like I'm not even going to make it there.
Well, you know what? What we're not going to do tonight is put that in the atmosphere, because words have power. We're gonna have faith that you're going to make it out of there, and we're going to make enough noise that they're going to get
this
you out of there.
This call will be terminated in 1 minute.
And Let's Talk Fort Worth is a real noisemaker, so we're going to have faith tonight. that we're going to believe that you're going to make it out of there and on the other side of that fence or gate or door or whatever. We're going to believe that tonight. So we know we're going to cut you, they're going to cut you off in a minute, but Greg, stay encouraged. Know that you got people on the outside that are fighting for you. We're going to make some calls Monday morning, first thing to some elected officials and some other people that can probably help the situation, and we're going to try to find you an attorney to help with the other part as far as the medical bond.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Y'all, that was Gregory Travis Corley, meeting house in the Denton County Jail. We got to make some phone calls, y'all. We got to locate this correctional health. We got to find out what we can do to put some pressure on them to do the right thing. We also got to make some calls to the Denton County Jail. That's 940-349-1600. Call. They're open 24 hours a day. Word the hell out of them about getting him out of there and getting him some medical attention. Call the county commissioner's office. And their number is 940-349-2800. We're going to buzz the hell out of this as well. And the Department of Justice, that's 202-514-3847. Now, y'all, I don't know what's going on with this situation. I promise this is blindsiding me. I've never seen anything like this, Christian, in my life. I've worked in a jail. I've had family members that worked in the jail. I've never seen where you could not put enough paper on people to make them do the right thing. This is a...
I don't really have either.
We can barely hear you. We cannot hear you.
My phone must have a...
Okay, she's having phone problems out. But Kristen, thank you for calling in tonight. We're good. Listen, y'all. Now we can hear you. Okay.
Okay.
I've never seen anything like this.
Me neither.
I've never seen anything. Typically, when you start applying phone calls and complaints and letters and inboxes and all that other stuff and text messages, stuff starts to happen. But I've never seen a situation where this many people have called for one person and still you get no traction, no movement.
Nothing. Nothing.
Wow. So
like,
has he ever been in the Denton County Jail before?
I think when he got his charges originally, but other than that, I don't think so because he's been out on bond for over a year before all this happened.
Because I was trying to think, well, is this personal? You know, did he have an enemy in there that's on part of the staff that's making it hard for him? I mean, I'm just not really understanding, like, why they're singling him out not to help him when...
He is not really one that has enemies. I mean, I'm sure he has some, but he's very respectable to... I'm sure that they would all say that he's very respectable to all the guards. Even in his situation, he's still respectful because he knows that they're just doing their job, the guards, but they can only do so much because they're just guards, I guess, even though I don't understand that. I just don't.
Okay. Well, you know what, y'all? Listen, Dr. King said it best, an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And so the fact that if they're treating this young man like that in that facility, what's happening to others? And y'all want to bring up the case of a young lady that died in there. So there's some stuff going on. First of all, they failed their jail inspection. We know that. They did not pass their jail inspection. So it's too much going on. We know that the Denton County Jail has been found non-compliant. It's in the inspection for the most recent fiscal year. With inspection notes flagging jail personnel for failure to conduct proper face-to-face observation of inmates who later died of unknown causes. We know on December 29, 2021, inmate Helen Renee Jackson died in the Denton County Jail. She was 53 years old, a black female. Basically, they said the footage showed that the staff scanned the electronic sensor to complete the observation check, but were not actually observing the inmates in the holding cell. At 5:08, they did a check. At 5:10, Jackson fell to the floor in the center of the holdover. At 5:13, she stopped moving. At 5:32, a check was done without checking the inmate. At 5:37, I'm not sure if another inmate noticed and contacted the staff or the staff figured it out, but at 5:37, a staff member checked on the inmate and summoned medical assistance. The lady later died or was dead at that particular time. And so they're short of staff over there. We get that everybody's short of staff, but you cannot house people that you're not able to properly maintain them. You cannot house people that you can't feed them properly, that you can't, you know, keep the facility clean, that you can't take their health and hygiene issues. You cannot house people. It sounds like somebody else is going to have to step in, or they're going to be in serious violation of jail standards. And we've already talked about jail standards tonight. They're way over with what they're supposed to be doing. Christian, we read off some of those things that you passed on to me, but the Texas Administrative Code, basically Title 37, Part 9, Chapter 273.4, deals with health records. It says the health services plan shall include procedures for the maintenance of separate health records on each inmate. The record shall include health screenings, procedures administered by the health personnel or by a trained booking officer upon admission of the inmate to the facility, and shall cover but shall not be limited to the following: a health history. So when he came into the jail, they were supposed to determine his health history. Basically, they were supposed to deal with any current, I'm sorry?
I was just agreeing with you, yes.
Right, any current illnesses or his injury. They were also supposed to deal with his current medical, mental, and dental care and treatment. So when all this is supposed to happen, you know, to every inmate, and then an inventory of the body's deformities and the ease of movement. So the fact that his arm is lifeless, they should have paid special attention to that. First of all, it makes him defenseless against an attack by another inmate. And then second of all, if it's causing him a situation in which it could cause him death, it's supposed to be looked after. So all of this is major for what they're not supposed to be doing. And then another thing says a separate health record shall reflect all subsequent findings, diagnoses, treatments, dispositions, special housing assignments, medical isolation, distribution of medications, and the name of any institution to which the inmate's health records has been released. So all of this is things that they're supposed to be doing in their daily operations at the jail that obviously they're failing to do. So it's
they're not doing it at all.
They're not doing it at all. So I tell you what, Christian, final comments on what you need people to do.
Make a stink, make a big stink. That's all I can say, because the more people are powered, the more people is going to make a difference. So, I mean, blow up every person that you can blow up. If you know somebody who might know somebody, tell somebody. Just put the word out there. Word of mouth is a extravagant thing.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Christian, for being with us tonight. Y'all, that was Christian Renee. She's on Facebook. Reach out to her if you come up with anything that can help make Greg's situation better. I think, let me spell your name again. It's spelled K-R-I-S-T-E-N, and then last name R-E-N-E?
Correct.
Correct. Okay, so y'all, if y'all find out anything, know anything, can figure out anything, reach out to her on Facebook. Again, thank you, Christian, for being with us tonight. Y'all, listen, we come to the end of another show. Tonight, you know, it's different for me because I realize in doing these shows, you know, it's partly activism, partly talk show, partly entertainment. But when you do shows like this, it kind of pulls at your heart because I don't want to just do shows and we don't affect anything. And I want that when we do put information out there, that if people can help, they will. And so tonight I'm making a plea. Get on the phones, call his attorney. We're going to get a phone number for him. I've made a big post on Facebook. If you follow me on Facebook, follow our Facebook page on Let's Talk Fort Worth. We have a Facebook page. I'm going to put the information on there how you can reach the attorney and ask him to get off the case if he ain't going to do nothing. how to reach the jail, how to reach the county commissioners, how to reach the DOJ. If you know a politician, a local senator, congressman, state representative that you can reach out to on Gregory's behalf, we're going to ask you to do that tonight because a whole lot's going on with this case, but ain't none of it making any sense. I mean, it's just literally not making any sense. So we're going to run this last ad tonight, and we're going to get out of here. River Tree Academy.
It's a great day at River Tree Academy. We are a private Christian school in the Lake Como community that strives to provide an environment where students can learn well, love well, work well, and lead well. We still have openings available for incoming 3rd through 5th grade students to enroll. Visit us on the web at rivertreeacademy.org to find out more and enroll today.
Y'all, you know what? We're going to end tonight, and I typically don't do this. Even though I'm a big Christian, I typically don't do this. But we're going to end with a prayer tonight because I feel like prayer changes things. So we're going to ask God to intervene on Greg's behalf. To touch the hearts of those that are in charge, to do the right thing. We're going to ask that if anybody knows how to fix this situation, that they somehow get in contact with the family, get in contact with the show, because we know ultimately God is in control, and we don't want to put in the atmosphere that Gregory won't make it out of this. We're going to touch and agree tonight that he will, that this situation will be rectified in the coming days, because we know, again, that prayer changes things. So God, in the name of Jesus, we ask tonight that you have your angels hover over that Denton County jail. We ask the angels to move on Greg's behalf, moving in that situation like never before. Whatever has been stagnated and holding up his release to get medical care, we ask that it be moved today, because we know that you're able to do anything but fail. So tonight, God, we're trusting and believing that good things will come out in this case next week. We're just going to believe that. We're just going to have faith and stand on that tonight, knowing that God can do what others cannot do. So listen, y'all, we do this each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker, tell an enemy to check out the show. We thank River Tree Academy for coming on board to Let's Talk Fort Worth as an advertiser. We appreciate you trusting us to put the message out that River Tree Academy is definitely a school that can do great things for your young children. Y'all listen, if you have a product, a service, a nonprofit, a campaign, and you would like to get information out about it, contact me at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. We would love to have you advertise right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Also, y'all, we have a Facebook page, as I mentioned earlier. Follow us on Facebook to keep up with everything that's going on in the city of Fort Worth. We talk about politics and other things. We typically don't talk about subject matters that don't directly affect our city, but we thought tonight we needed to bring attention to Gregory's case, because even though we mentioned it in Hot Topics a couple of shows back, the situation didn't get any better. So tonight we've decided to totally spotlight his story and hopefully get the information out there so that he can get the help that he needs. All right, y'all, listen, we got to get out of here. We do this again each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Tune in. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker. All right, y'all, until next week, good night.